Black Wizard in the Flesh will now define science in Step 2 from the viewpoint of the light side and Tom's the dark side can understand.
Science has to be defined as being reality, not just some theory that can be proven or disproven. So in reality, I will define the science of gravity in terms of reality. And reality is what happens at the subatomic level. And at the subatomic level, we can all agree that we see God's particle. It is a tri-state object that has three definable states. The first is the light or matter state. The second is the dark or antimatter state. And the third is null or empty space. Every object in the universe contains null space. The human body is said to be 99.999% empty space. The same can be said about any object in the universe at the subatomic level. So what is empty space? I define it as null space, which is space that has no dimensions. Therefore, nothing can exist in that space, so it's empty. But more than that, it's null space, since nothing can enter this space. This is a very basic concept of the trinary universe. In the static universe, null space does not move, hence the term static. So the universe moves around it. So how can null space move through an object, or us, without us perceiving it? If we are unaware of even the cells in our body, and null space is much smaller than an atom, so we are totally unaware of null space, even though we can see it, or at least we can see where it's not, since it's physically impossible to see null space. So like the light, we cannot see, but know it's there. We must have faith that the darkness is there also, because we know that all light is made up of the darkness, as Sir Isaac Newton proved over 333 years ago, as he tried to figure out how the Bible knew that. But nowadays, we have the electron microscope and see the empty space. So this is a well-known fact in science. So this is reality. So in the trinary universe, I define all space in terms of the three dimensions: matter, antimatter, and null space, which I call the light, dark, and the gray, and prove with a mathematical model 1 plus negative 1 equals 0. Because energy cannot be created nor destroyed, it can only change from one form into another. So an element in a dimension can hold only one state in a dimension at a time. So an element can have any state change in that space, which may look like magic, as it appears to move to one side, then disappears, as it changes states from 1 to negative 1, then to 0. Observations would lead you to believe that the object's mass would create gravity. That is the prevailing theory of how gravity works, which is the mass of the planet and the centrifugal force it creates as it spins at over 1,000 miles an hour. And Albert Einstein's theory about space and time warping of the fabric that the universe is made of. It does not hold up at the subatomic level, nor does the logic that centrifugal force is holding us to the planet, instead of throwing us out into space, as common sense would dictate, and endless experiments will verify. So gravity works in a much different way than current theories would suggest. Any new theories would have to hold up at the subatomic level. So the interaction of the four dimensions defined in the trinary universe is how I define the effects of gravity. So in the zero dimension, which I define as null or empty space, we have a static universe, which was described by Sir Isaac Newton as an invisible force that acts on an object, causing it to fall through empty space in a very definable and predictable way that can be calculated as the difference in force between two objects. So if we multiply a gravitational constant, which is a long number which is approximately 6.66 newtons, which denotes a unit of measurement. But since it's a constant, I'm going to define it in terms of Newton's third law of motion, which is that every body in motion exerts a force equal in magnitude but opposite in direction to another object. So the constant G is redefined as 1 and negative 1. So its actual value does not matter since it's a constant, and multiplying it by 1 and negative 1 will not change it. So we multiply that by the mass of one object multiplied by the mass of a second object, divided by the distance between the center of those objects. So at rest we have 1 plus negative 1 equals 0, which is the trinary universe's constant for balance, but also has a much deeper meaning. Since zero is the zero dimension, it only means that the object is at rest relative from where it's at. But not to be confused with Albert Einstein's theory of relativity, which only applies because it's based on Sir Isaac Newton's work. So now let's see what we observe at the subatomic level. We tend to view our weight as a measurement of our mass. But in reality, it's just the gravitational difference between the scale and the objects on either side of the scale. So it's a reference that will change depending on what planet we are on. In this example, that is us and the Earth. And if you stood on a scale in outer space, you would fully understand that concept, because we would weigh the same as a feather in outer space. And if we were to drop an object weighing the same as you and a feather in a vacuum, you would notice that they fall at the same rate, yet they do not weigh the same. That is, they do not have the same gravitational pull on the scale on Earth. So you could not use the weight of an object to determine how fast it will fall. And let's face it, things that fall to Earth from 90 feet are not the same as objects that fall from outer space. Yet the same laws must apply for both. So when you drop a solid object and a feather from outer space, you can expect that they will both fall at the same rate until they hit the atmosphere. Then aerodynamics come into play. And there are plenty of mathematical formulas to figure that out. But none of them explain what gravity is. I define gravity in terms of a trinary engine. This is the core of every planet, sun, and galaxy in the universe. I will talk about it at length in the series Trinary Energy. But in simplest terms, a trinary engine is a sphere made of titanium, which is an element that is not in our periodic table. So most of you do not believe it exists, but it's a subatomic particle that has no protons, and so small that there is no container that can hold it. It would fall through the empty space in the molecular structure of all known elements in the periodic table, making it the hardest substance to collect. Yet its presence has been detected in neutrino detectors around the world. And in reality, it exists in the universe in great abundance. And like all elements in the universe, they tend to clump together in the vacuum of space. And as they do, they create a mass so dense that nothing can pass through them. Not even empty space. So null space is forced to flow around them, creating friction around them and dragging them through space as they form. Light will be trapped inside of them, This light is forced into a very tight space, forcing the matter and antimatter together, which you would think would just explode like a bomb. But matter and antimatter are in different dimensions, so they never come into contact with each other. It's contained in a balance bound by the mathematical formula 1 plus negative 1 equals 0. So it's in balance, and forces the tritanium to form a shell around it, until all the material is just containing the matter antimatter explosion. But the size of the engine is based on how much material was present when the engine was formed. Most of you will not believe in this idea, and will call it a theory, one that they cannot prove nor disprove. But in science, you must eliminate everything that is impossible, and whatever remains, no matter how crazy it may sound, must be the truth. So I submit, the trinary engine is the truth, and not a theory. And I cite the Bible as proof that this concept is known, and accepted as a scientific fact, because the Bible states that you must have faith that God exists, and defines God as all light with no darkness, and states there can be no light without the darkness. And Sir Isaac Newton proved that, and also said that God was the force in all his equations, and that has gone 333 years without being disproven. So I am talking about the same thing. So it's a fact and not a theory. So this is real science. So we have a trinary engine. It's a shell of tritanium that is containing a matter-antimatter mixture of light, also known as God's particle. And on the outside of the sphere is null space, which has to flow around the sphere, which is causing friction as it's dragged at 66,000 or 666,000 miles an hour through space, depending on if it's a sun or a planet. So it's like a force field. Everything that comes in contact with it is disintegrated, meaning that at the subatomic level, its atoms are ripped apart down to their atomic elements. And every object is attracted to this engine due to the null space that is forced to flow around it. So every object is attracted by the null space that flows through them. At the subatomic level, this is easy to prove, because that is what you see happening. And this is the only explanation for such a reaction. So it's like I said, if you remove all impossibilities, you are left with the truth, which is, the trinary engine exists, and you must have faith that it exists, because scientifically, it's the only way to prove it. The problem with human thought is that humans think they are intelligent. They measure this intelligence and put a value to it called an IQ. They know statistically that humans born from the tribe of Ashkenazi have the highest IQ, but that normal humans, known as neurotypicals, never have an IQ over 133. But some humans with a highly functional form of autism do. So as an Ashkenazi Aspie, I have an IQ over 180, which allows me to think in a way that I could unravel this mystery called gravity, and I teach it to you, which makes me a wizard. So you were raised to think wizards are just fairy tales, because the word reality does not apply to you. And I will not lower myself to your level to teach these concepts, because I do not like acting like you, because I am not like you. Nor do I like you, because most of you are just stupid animals, because in reality, you are just female sheep. And let's face it, even if I pretended to be like you, like Sir Isaac Newton did, Once they found out I was a wizard, you would stop believing in what I said, which is why you now believe in Albert Einstein, even though he too was an Ashkenazi Gatsby with an IQ of 160. Making him a wizard, and the Bible itself was written by wizards, and is about wizards. But most of you will not believe the trinary universe, because it involves the Bible as proof of this concept, and scientists do not believe in God or the Bible, only in scientific data. So I will try my best to talk about this scientific data. And just to let you know, I am not religious in any way, nor was Isaac Newton, Jesus, Allah, or God. But I do view the Bible as the truth, with the exception of the insertion of Christ in the 8th century, which Sir Isaac Newton documented over 333 years ago, and has not been disproven to this date, so that is a fact. So if you wish to believe that God created the trinary engine, it's up to you. All I'm saying is that the trinary engine exists. At the subatomic level, you can see God's particle at work, and the universe is proof of that. And unless you have a genius IQ level, do not try to debunk this concept with your BS or belief system. I am just stating facts about the universe. You will find no theories here. If you observe the sun, you will know that its core never changes sizes. So the idea that it's caused by nuclear fusion does not hold up at the subatomic level, because the size would change noticeably if that were true. Like the idea that centrifugal force causes gravity, nuclear fusion is just another insane idea that will never hold up to common sense, let alone scientific data. So let's not go there. What you will observe is that matter is drawn into the sun, then disintegrated and blasted back out into space, and carried by the solar wind to every planet in its system. That matter falls to the planets as micrometeorites and becomes earth or dirt on planet dirt, that is, earth, which in turn grows in size, maybe only 1/2 inch a year, but over millions or billions of years, that is a lot. Every planet has a maximum size it can grow to. Once it exceeds that size, it goes nova, which means it rips itself apart, and all that material is pulled into the sun, which quickly gets inundated with it, and will itself in turn go nova, which means that it will blast all the material back into its system, and the process will start all over, so the system is reborn, which is what you see in the universe. There are a lot of dead systems out there, only systems that are reset and start the process all over again. As the null space warps around the trinary engine, the light, which I define as trinary energy, you call it God's particle, just to make sure we are talking about the same light. Sir Isaac Newton wrote a book on this subject, and all my work is based on what Isaac Newton said. Keep in mind that when I say Isaac Newton, I am talking about my first cousin, 5 times removed, so I am a direct descendant of his. We have the same grandfather, Henry Weston Fletcher, who Weston, Virginia was named after. Just take a moment to verify this fact if you do not believe it, because the truth is what I am teaching here, and what all scientists have learned since this time. This is all based on technology made possible by Newton's work. Even though the invention of the electron microscope was not credited to Newton, it would not have been invented without his knowledge, meaning that whoever invented it would have to have knowledge like his to invent it. Since it's based on his work, and my work is based on his work, and is just as important to humankind. But instead of me trying to patent this idea and make money off of it, I decided to go public and make this knowledge available to everyone. Yet all I get in return is ridicule and stupid animals known as sheeple, which is why I call them you or female sheep, which is the same way that Sir Isaac Newton viewed them. My great cousin said that people act like animals because they think they are one. Just like he based his work on the great work of others, so he could see farther by standing on the shoulders of giants, I too stand on the shoulders of scientists of my time, who know that the dynamic universe and current science of this state is nothing but science fiction. So when I talk about the light in the universe, I am talking about the trinary energy. You can call it God's particle if you want, but Sir Isaac Newton called it the force in all his equations. But I normally only call it the light. And it's this light that warps around the trinary engine. It's transformed from one type of energy into another. Its byproducts from the matter that it is in contact with, which is space debris from comets, micrometeorites, and other junk floating around in space that gets sucked into its gravitational force, which is caused by the null space flowing around it, and is also the very force that is disintegrating it, making it the perfect engine to run the universe. So if you want to think it's a randomly formed object, like dirt clumping together, making planets that have a metal core, the nuclear fusion core running it, then reality means nothing to you. As for me, I believe that God created it. So far, everything I have told you can be verified as facts, and therefore, not theories. This is a point that we need to agree upon, because everything I have said goes against what mainstream science believes in. So it's 180 degrees from what was taught in school, and nothing like anyone else in the history of humankind has ever talked about. Get its sources from the Bible itself. And what I have added is just verifiable data that anyone with any intelligence can see with their own eyes. Meaning, there is no imagination required. If you see it with your own eyes, even with the use of an electron microscope, everything is verifiable up to a point. And that point is called dimensions, because mainstream media does not deal with dimensions the same way that I do. For example, mainstream media knows there is no dimensions, which I call the zero dimension. Other than that, they see it as no real value, meaning it might as well not even be there. Since all it's doing is taking up space. And the first and second dimension are all theoretical and of little use to science. And the third dimension is where we are, and all reality takes place. And there are an infinite number of dimensions after that. All layers upon layers of ways to form viewports back in time. so you can see what you saw. Then take the saw and saw your theory in half with it, so you can put the halves together to form a black hole to crawl out of. Because that is how mainstream science views dimensions. And that is all theories. And I do not deal with theories. Only facts. How you view the universe as working may not have anything to do with how it actually works. For example, most of you view things floating in space as not moving. Just as you take an object and place it on a surface and think it's not moving. So let's do a little experiment. Pick an object. Now tell me how fast that object is traveling through the universe. Could you say 0 miles an hour? In relationship to where you are, that is the correct answer. But from the viewpoint of the universe, from its point of view, you are spinning on a planet at over 1,000 miles an hour, and around a sun at 66,000 miles an hour. And the sun rotates around the galaxy at over 666,000 miles an hour, which is nothing compared to how fast light can travel through the universe, because no space never moves, meaning that the universe moves around it, and not in any one direction, because it's in another dimension, the zero dimension, which means that X, Y, Z coordinates mean nothing to it, since they do not exist in this dimension. And all energy, in the form of electrons, travel at the speed of light, so photons are just like a spark. It's held in place by the zero dimension and dragged along its path as it moves, which is why its speed is a constant. No matter how fast you are traveling, it's because the zero dimension is gravity. It holds the light in place wherever it goes. The light will follow, and it obeys the laws of physics, so it's very predictable. The first dimension and the second dimension guide it. So I call the first dimension the guiding light of destiny, or God for short. It can bend the light. It does this by changing the states of the trinary energy, or God's particle. So as it changes from one dimension into another, it goes from the first dimension to the second dimension, and at the point it bends, it switches to the zero dimension, which holds it in place, then uses the second dimension to make a new direction. So as you can see, that this is how the universe must work, even if it is not the way you think it's working, because at the subatomic level, which is called reality, that is what is happening, and there is no other way to explain it. Mainstream science would have you believe that chaos is how the universe works. But I look out my eyes into the universe and see no chaos at all. They also see all the matter in the universe coming out of a black hole, which is a space smaller than an atom, and then define the laws of physics, whereas I see the laws of physics as absolute and unyielding. But in Albert Einstein's universe, everything is possible, which is impossible, and proves beyond a reasonable doubt that it's all science fiction. So why pass it off as real science? It's clear. There is no such thing as real science or real scientist, and it's time that you decide what you want to call science, because if Albert Einstein is science, then the laws of physics means nothing, so reality means nothing, because this is all a delusion. So tell me, do you really believe in Albert Einstein's theory about time travel? Do you actually believe that time exists in a zero dimension, or null or empty space? Time cannot exist, since it's only a reference to how many cycles have passed. And a cycle can be any known movement or change in an object that can be measured, be it the springs and gears of a watch or the atomic decay of an atom. It's clear that this does not exist in the zero dimension, because nothing exists in null space, proving that time travel is impossible, because null and empty space make up the majority of space itself, and that is a fact. The sun exposes its core to space because it ejects all the material it takes into its gravitational field after breaking it down into usable elements. So it feeds the other planets, which grow and form layers of this collected space debris. The centermost or first layer is molten, because it's in direct contact with a trinary engine, which is much smaller than the sun, so it does not have enough power to eject the material back into space. So as the outermost layer cools, it forms a crust, which is what you see on the outside of any planet. But the planet rotates around the core at a very predictable speed. That is because the planet is stable. It gets its stability from the layers. The second layer is solid. Its material is so dense and hard that no drill could drill through it. So most scientists think this is the planet's core. But there are vents through these solid plates that allow fresh material to be injected into the molten stream of the first layer, and it ejects processed material known as rock that is taken to the surface of the planet through volcanic vents, while some of the material known as oil is vented into a layer that protects the surface or outer layer from layer shifts from the planet. Because the planet is continually growing and rearranging the surface of the planet, making the trinary engine a machine that builds the planet. And that makes it intelligent, because it can produce any type of gas from the material it is fed. It can break water down into oxygen and hydrogen, and it separates them so they do not vent from the same place, which would cause an explosion. And I did say it produces oxygen. Key point. Plants can only convert CO2 into oxygen. It cannot create oxygen. Only the trinary engine can do that. So it's clear that God is at work here. God's particle, that is. Or simply the light. Do not mess with the planet. The oil is the blood that keeps the surface of the planet alive. And if you deplete enough of it, the planet will die. Or at least the surface will, as quakes and sinkholes destroy the surface. And you will know when that time is coming, because the planet will become unstable. And the planet may start to wobble on its axis, causing the magnetic field to start to change, and you do not want the poles to reverse, or the surface of the planet to accelerate as it grabs the core. But these signs are God's signs, and that too is a fact.
I must also point out that you never want to inject the layers of oil with water. If water ever gets in there, it will be converted to steam, leaving the salt and other matter that was in the water, thus clogging up this layer and disrupting the flow of oil that protects the surface. The steam will cut its way to the surface, many miles away from the injection point, and will cause the layers above it to move. And when it makes it to the surface, it can cause sinkholes. I should also point out that if you drill a hole into one of these layers in the ocean and allow it to bleed out, this planet will go Nova, as the top surface of the planet will be ripped apart, as the core of the planet is not allowed to freely rotate, causing the surface to speed up to the speed in which the core is rotating at. It will be like grabbing the wheel of a grinder. And now you know the truth about oil. It's impossible for it to be a fossil fuel. Any real scientist knows this, and the dark side bankers who exploit this planet for profit know this also. But they believe they will be dead before the planet goes Nova. So you allow them to destroy this planet for profit, and that is because you are all just stupid sheep. And now ask yourself, how do I know this? I am the light. I am the darkness. I am every shade of gray in between. I am the light wizard in the flesh.